Welcome to today's deep dive. I want you to imagine for a second that you are tasked with training a massive artificial intelligence model.
Oh, wow. Okay,
Yeah, so
great.
we're talking about like one of those cutting-edge neural networks with billions or maybe even trillions of parameters.
Right, the really big ones.
Exactly. And it's sitting there, and it's essentially a giant blank slate. And you feed it an immense amount of data, and naturally, at first, it makes mistakes. Like a lot of them.
Yeah, it's basically just guessing at that point.
Right. But here is the, well, I guess the million-dollar question. How does that machine actually learn from those mistakes? I mean, how does it know exactly which of its billions of internal dials to turn and, by exactly how much so it can get smarter on the next try?
I mean, that is the defining question of our era, really, because when you peel back the layers of server racks and you strip away all that, the marketing hype around artificial intelligence, you're left with a surprisingly mechanical, almost rigid process. The intelligence isn't magic, it's optimization.
And that brings us to the mission for this deep dive. Because today, we are looking at a foundational primer on calculus provided in our source material. And look, I know the word calculus might conjure up memories of like dusty textbooks
High
and,
school chalkboards.
yeah, exactly, endless chalkboard equations. But in the context of neural networks, it is absolutely the ultimate shortcut to optimization.
It really is.
I mean, if you're holding a smartphone right now, the facial recognition unlocking it was trained using this exact mathematical engine. So today we're going to decode the central question of calculus, which is the derivative.
Right.
And we're going to uncover why it's the hidden force driving like all of practical machine learning.
Yeah, and the irony here is that the problems calculus was invented to solve centuries ago. Those are the exact same problems we face when trying to train a computer to recognize a face or, translate a language.
Which is wild to think about.
It is, because it's all about managing continuous change. In machine learning, we talk about a network's loss, right? Which is basically just a mathematical measurement of how wrong its predictions are.
Okay, so higher loss means it's doing a worse job.
Exactly. And the goal is to make that loss fall with each training step, so it's changing continuously.
Okay, so to understand how a neural network learns to minimize that loss, we first have to understand how things change in general. Which means we need to talk about freezing time.
Freezing time. Yeah, we have to distinguish between an average rate of change and an instantaneous rate of change. That's like the core conceptual leap here.
Okay, let's unpack this with a quick real-world scenario so we're not just talking in the abstract. Think about driving a car.
Okay.
If you drive 60 miles in exactly 1 hour, your average speed is 60 miles per hour.
Easy enough, right?
Sure, basic math.
But if you fly past a speed camera on the highway, that camera doesn't care about your average speed over the last hour.
No, it definitely doesn't. Right. It cares about your speed at the exact microscopic fraction of a second you crossed its path, your instantaneous speed. And that is what calculus was invented to answer, right?
Yeah.
The rate of change at a single frozen moment.
Yeah, and when we look at the math from our source material, we can see exactly why finding that frozen moment held back mathematics for centuries. That's actually a huge problem. Let's take a simple curve on a graph, the function x squared.
Okay, so that's a parabola sweeping upward.
Exactly, the classic U shape. If you want to measure the average rate of change on that curve between, say, x equals 2 and x equals 3, you just draw a straight line connecting those two points on the graph. That is called the second line.
So the second line is essentially just a coarse bridge between point A and point B. It just gives you the average slope over that gap.
Yes, and calculating the slope of that second line is straightforward algebra. You just find the change in the vertical output and you divide it by the change in the horizontal input.
Rise over run.
Exactly, rise over run. So for our x squared curve between 2 and 3, the average rate of change is 5.
But just like the road trip, five is just an average. It doesn't tell us the exact speed on the speedometer at exactly x equals 2.
No, it doesn't.
Because the curve's getting steeper as it goes, right?
Yeah.
So its slope is changing at every microscopic point.
Yeah.
But if we want the exact slope at x equals 2, we run into a massive mathematical wall.
A huge wall. Because to find a slope, you need two points to measure a change.
Right. And if you try to measure the change between x equals 2 and, well, x equals 2, your change in time is zero.
And you can't divide by zero. It breaks the rules of arithmetic. Your calculator will just give you an error.
It literally breaks math.
It does. But the solution to this paradox is a concept called the limit. Instead of trying to calculate the slope at exactly one point, which triggers that divide by zero error, we take our second line and we move the second point closer and closer to the first point.
So we just shrink the distance between them.
Right. We shrink it. And we call that shrinking distance h. We let h shrink towards zero. As the distance gets infinitely small, that second line pivots.
Okay.
It stops being a bridge between two points, and it becomes a tangent line.
The tangent line.
Yeah, a line that just perfectly grazes the curve at one single exact point. The slope of that grazing tangent line is your instantaneous rate of change, and that is the derivative.
Okay, but wait. If h is shrinking towards zero, don't we still end up dividing by zero eventually? I mean, if I just plug zero into a formula, my calculator is still going to throw an error, right?
Well, that's the sleight of hand of the limit. You don't plug in zero immediately. The trick is to look at the algebraic equation for the slope and simplify it before you let the distance vanish.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So for our x squared curve, if you write out the formula for the slope using that tiny distance h, it looks incredibly messy at first. But through standard algebraic simplification, something beautiful happens. The problematic terms cancel out. You're able to divide away the h in the denominator mathematically while it is still technically a non-zero number.
Ah, I see. So you factor out the problem before it has a chance to ruin the equation.
Exactly. You find the loophole. Once you've canceled out the h on the bottom, you are left with a vastly simpler equation. Only then, at the very final stage, do you apply the limit.
Right.
You say, okay, let h become zero. The tiny leftover error margins vanish, and for the x squared curve, you are left with just 2 times x.
2 times x.
Okay.
That is the derivative of x squared. So, okay, let's unpack this. The derivative isn't just a single static number. It's actually a function itself.
Yes.
It's like we just built a slope generating machine. You can feed this machine any point on the original parabola, and it will instantly spit out the exact slope at that frozen moment.
Slope machine is the perfect way to conceptualize it. I love that. And if we plug some numbers into our new 2 times x machine, we can see it in action. If we want to know the slope at x equals 3, we plug 3 in. 2 times 3 is 6. The slope is a positive 6, meaning the curve is rising steeply.
What if we go backward to say x equals negative 2?
2 times negative 2 is negative 4, so the slope is falling downward. And right at the vertex, the very bottom of the parabola where x equals 0.
2 times 0 is 0.
Exactly. The curve is completely flat for that one infinitesimal moment.
That is incredibly powerful. And, you know, the source material points out that we don't have to do this complex limit dance every single time. There are shortcuts, like the power rule.
Right. The power rule shows that this limit trick actually follows a perfectly predictable pattern. For any variable raised to a power to find its derivative, you just bring the exponent down to the front to multiply, and then you subtract 1 from the exponent.
So if you have x to the 4th power, you bring the 4 down, drop the exponent to a 3, and you instantly know the derivative is 4 times x to the 3rd power.
Exactly. No limits, no algebra, just a direct mathematical shortcut to build a new slope machine.
And what if you have a constant number, like the number 7?
Well, a constant never changes, right? If you graph it, it's just a horizontal line. So its slope, its derivative is always 0.
So we have this perfect slope machine for one variable. We have shortcuts to build them instantly. But here's where we hit a wall of complexity.
Yeah.
Because a modern neural network doesn't have one variable. It has billions of variables.
Right.
So if you try to calculate limits or slopes for a billion interacting variables all at once, I mean, the mass collapses into chaos.
Yeah.
How do software engineers actually keep all of this organized without just losing their minds?
They rely heavily on the language of calculus, specifically the notation. How we write these derivatives down is honestly what makes handling billions of parameters possible at all.
The sources show a few different ways to write a derivative. Hmm. There's the one with a little apostrophe, f prime of x. That one is pretty common in high school math.
Yeah.
But then there's the one that looks like a fraction, dd over dx.
Right. That is Leibniz notation, named after Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz. And while f prime of x is fine for simple chalkboard math, Leibniz notation that dy over dx is absolutely crucial for the architecture of machine learning.
Why is that specific fraction format so important?
Because it's explicitly detailed about relationships. Dy simply means a tiny change in. So Di over dx literally reads as a tiny change in y divided by a tiny change in x.
Okay.
When you are working with a neural network that has 1,000 different layers and billions of parameters all interacting, you can't just say find the derivative. You have to specify exactly which outputs change you are measuring against which specific inputs change.
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
I like to think of Leibniz notation less like a mathematical label and more like a detailed shipping label on a package.
Yeah.
Or maybe interlocking physical gears.
Gears is a great way to put it.
Because in machine learning, functions are nested inside of other functions. Layer 1 feeds into layer 2, which feeds into layer 3. So the final output depends on an intermediate variable, which depends on the original input.
And that nesting is precisely why we need the chain rule. To find the derivative of a deeply nested function, to find out how a tweak to a weight in layer 1 affects the final output in layer 10, you have to multiply the derivatives of all the layers in between.
Right. And because Leibniz notation writes derivatives as fractions, multiplying them visually clicks together.
Exactly.
Like, if you want the change in y with respect to x,
right,
but they are separated by an intermediate gear called u, you multiply d over du by du over dx. And the du on the bottom of the first fraction and the du on the top of the second fraction literally cancel each other out.
Yes.
The intermediate gears vanish, leaving you with exactly what you wanted, gaddy over dx.
And that visual canceling out is what allows computer scientists to program backpropagation. The notation acts as a foolproof bookkeeping system. It ensures that when the algorithm traces the error backward through a billion connections, the mathematical chain of custody remains completely unbroken.
So the notation keeps our gears turning smoothly. But, you know, this all assumes the gears are perfectly machined. We've been talking about smooth curves and perfect parabolas. What happens when we hit a mathematical pothole? Because pure math requires perfection, right?
It does. And mathematically speaking, a pothole is a major problem. For a derivative to exist, for a function to be what we call differentiable, it must follow strict rules.
Okay.
First, it must be continuous. No sudden jumps, breaks, or holes in the graph. You can't find the slope of a bridge if half the bridge is missing.
That makes total sense.
But the second rule is even stricter. There can be no sharp corners or cusps.
Really?
Yeah. The limit we discussed earlier, shrinking that h to 0, has to converge to the exact same numerical slope whether you approach that point from the left side of the graph or the right side of the graph.
What's a classic example of a sharp corner that breaks the rule?
The absolute value of x. If you graph the absolute value of x, it looks like a perfect continuous letter V. The left side is a straight line plunging downward, so its slope is exactly negative 1. The right side is a straight line shooting upward, so its slope is exactly positive 1.
But right at the very bottom, right at x equals 0, where those two straight lines meet at a sharp point.
The limit does not exist. Approaching from the left, the math insists the slope is negative 1. Approaching from the right, the math insists the slope is positive 1. They fundamentally disagree. Therefore, at that exact sharp corner, pure mathematics dictates that the derivative is strictly undefined. You cannot calculate it.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because pure math requires everything to be perfectly smooth curves.
Yeah.
Yet anyone who follows AI development keeps hearing about something called ReLU.
Ah, yes.
It's an activation function. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, the graph of ReLU is completely flat for negative numbers, and then it shoots up in a straight diagonal line for positive numbers. So it has a massive literal sharp corner at exactly 0.
It does.
If sharp corners break calculus, why is modern AI built on them?
This is where we see the fascinating tension between pure theoretical mathematics and pragmatic computer science.
What?
You are entirely correct. At exactly x equals 0, the derivative of ReLU does not exist, period. A pure mathematician would stop right there.
Right.
But a machine learning framework doesn't have the luxury of giving up and throwing a fatal error every time it hits 0 during a multi-million dollar training run.
It has to keep the assembly line moving.
Exactly. So software engineers simply handle it by convention. They program the system to make an arbitrary choice. They hard code the framework to say, if we land exactly on the sharp corner at 0, just pretend the derivative is 0 and keep going.
Wow.
Yeah. Machine learning relies on the practical fact that these functions are differentiable almost everywhere. Hitting that exact mathematically undefined point is statistically incredibly rare in a sea of floating point numbers. And when it does happen, a programmatic band-aid acts as a bridge to keep the optimization running.
It's basically the engineers saying, look, we respect the theoretical math, But we have a billion parameter model to train by Tuesday, so we are bending the rules slightly just to make it compile.
It's a highly calculated compromise. And I mean, it works brilliantly in practice.
So we have built our slope machines.
Hmm.
We have labeled everything clearly with Leibniz notation so the chain rule works.
Yeah.
And we've agreed to bend the mathematical rules slightly when we hit a sharp corner. Now bring this all together for me.
Okay.
How exactly do these slope calculations actually translate into a smarter AI? Like, what is the actual mechanism of learning here?
The payoff mechanism is an algorithm called gradient descent. Remember, the entire goal of training a neural network is to minimize the loss function. We want the errors to be as small as possible. Let's call our overall loss L.
Got it.
And our network has millions of individual weights, or dials. Let's look at just one of those weights and call it W.
Okay, one single dial out of millions.
The source material introduces a specific symbol here, a stylized curly D called the partial derivative symbol. It looks a bit like a backward six.
Oh, I've seen that in papers.
Yeah, when we calculate the partial derivative of the loss L with respect to our weight W, we are asking a very precise, isolated question. If I nudge this one specific weight up by a tiny microscopic amount while holding all the millions of other weights perfectly frozen, how much does the overall error increase or decrease?
We are isolating its exact individual contribution to the AI's stupidity.
Exactly. It is the exact same derivative math we did earlier with the second lines and limits, just applied to one variable at a time while treating everything else as a constant. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say we calculate that partial derivative, and the answer is a positive slope. A positive slope means that as the weight goes up, the error goes up.
And we want the error to go down, so yeah. We need to do the opposite of the slope.
Which explains the minus sign in the gradient descent update formula. The literal equation that updates the AI's brain takes the current weight and subtracts the partial derivative.
So what does this all mean? I love visualizing this. It's kind of like being dropped onto a vast, uneven alien mountain range, right? And you're completely blindfolded.
Okay, I'm with you.
Your goal is to get to the very bottom of the lowest valley, because the lowest altitude represents the minimum loss.
Yeah.
The smartest version of your AI model.
Yes, exactly.
But because you are blindfolded, you can't see the valley. But you can feel the ground right under your feet. That is your partial derivative. You feel the exact slope of the ground at your frozen moment in time. If you feel the ground sloping upward in front of you, a positive slope, you don't take a step forward. You subtract that slope. You take a step backward, going down.
That is a perfect analogy. You take a principled step downward by updating the weight. Then you feel the ground again, calculate the new derivative, and take another step. Every single step is a mathematically guaranteed move toward lower loss.
But doing this for billions of parameters, feeling the slope under a billion different feet simultaneously over and over, millions of times per second. I mean, the sheer computational cost of that math sounds astronomical. Hmm. If we have to manually perturb every weight to see how the loss changes, it would take more computing power than exists on Earth.
Oh, totally. If we had to estimate the slopes by nudging each weight one by one, training a modern AI would take thousands of years. But this is where modern software frameworks like PyTorch and TensorFlow introduce what is arguably a computational miracle, which is automatic differentiation, or autograd.
And autograd isn't just estimating these slopes, right? How does it actually work under the hood to calculate a billion slopes instantly?
It works by becoming a meticulous bookkeeper. When you set a flag in your code like typing requires rasagrad equals true in PyTorch, you are telling the software to watch every move the data makes. During the forward pass, as the network makes its initial guess, the data flows through millions of additions, multiplications, and activation functions. Autograd records every single one of those operations. It drops a mathematical breadcrumb at every step, building what's called a computational graph.
So it's keeping a hyper-detailed receipt of exactly how the prediction is made.
Yes. And then comes the backward pass, backpropagation. The software consults that massive receipt. It walks backward along the exact path the data took. And at every step, it applies those interlocking gears we talked about, the chain rule, the power rule, the Leibniz notation, multiplying the exact derivatives all the way back to the beginning.
Wow.
It calculates the exact partial derivative for every single parameter in a single elegant backward sweep. No approximations.
It's constructing and solving billions of interconnected slope machines in milliseconds.
Autograd is the literal machinery that makes training modern AI possible at scale. Without the ability to automatically and cheaply compute exact derivatives, the entire field of deep learning simply would not exist.
And that really brings us full circle. because we started this deep dive looking at the staggering scale of modern AI, wondering how a blank slate actually learns to recognize a face or, you know, write a poem. And we found the answer, not in some magical algorithm, but in the logic of continuous change.
Yeah, the math from centuries ago.
Exactly. By freezing time with the limit, finding exact slopes, and using partial derivatives and autograd to take blindfolded steps down a mathematical mountain.
It is the ultimate triumph of optimization. Every reduction in loss, every leap in a model's capability is driven entirely by the calculus derivative.
It leaves you with a really fascinating thought to mull over. Because we talk so much in society today about artificial intelligence as if it's mimicking human cognition.
Right.
We use words like hallucination, understanding, and neural to describe what it does. But biological brains, your brain, my brain, don't use backpropagation.
No, they definitely don't.
We don't calculate the partial derivatives of our synaptic weights using the chain rule to learn how to catch a baseball or recognize a friend. We learn dynamically in ways science still doesn't fully grasp, which raises a provocative question.
Okay.
If the magic of current AI is entirely dependent on this rigid mathematical trick of finding slopes on a curve, are we actually building true intelligence? Or are we just pushing a brilliant 300-year-old mathematical optimization trick to its absolute limit?
It really makes you wonder if true artificial general intelligence will require a fundamentally different mathematical foundation.
It certainly changes how you look at the black box.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. The next time you see a machine learning model accomplish something incredible, remember the math working quietly, relentlessly underneath. Keep looking for the slopes in the complex systems around you. Until next time.